This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV. Hey, everybody. What's going on? Rob Cesternino back with you. And I am so excited for today's interview because we are going to be talking with a woman who has been, by popular demand, requested to come on and talk about her Survivor experience. Please welcome Cassidy Clark. Cassidy, how are you?
Hi, Rob. I'm doing good. Honestly, it's really great to be here with you. I feel like, you know, I watched this podcast, I watched so many hours of this podcast, whether it was, you know, yours or Why Blank Lost or Purple Pants. So I have spent many hours listening to this podcast. And so it's just an honor to be here. And I think especially getting to do a deep dive with you, I think that is an indicator of, like, I did something in the game. Like, I made a mark.
Something. So, I mean, it's kind of more of a medium dive, but we do what we can. Okay, Cassidy, yeah. But I'm so happy to have you here. And first off, let me comment on you are wearing a buff. I think that is a first. I don't think that I've ever interviewed a player after the game wearing a buff. I know somebody might correct me, but this is history today.
You've done it again. Oh my God, amazing. I'm so excited. Yeah, I was panicking about what to wear. And I was like, you know what? Why not just rock what I wore in the game all the way to the bitter end, you know?
Yeah, I think that maybe could you let people know, how big of a Survivor super fan are you?
I mean, I've literally watched this show since I could form memories. Like when I was 4 years old, it came on and my parents sat us all down and we watched it as kids. And then I never stopped watching it throughout my entire life. So every single year I was like a dedicated Survivor fan. And I always wanted to play. Right. But I was kind of waiting until I was old enough. I was praying it would still be on air by that time. And then, I was just kind of waiting for my chance. And I had a feeling, like a good feeling, that I might be able to actually play one day, but it's still crazy and surreal that I had the honor to play and that I'm here with you today. So huge fan from the beginning and until the end.
Okay. I know we have a lot to get to and we don't have a ton of time. Real quick, everything since Survivor going well?
It's been pretty good. I'm working right now on building my small business. So I'm excited about that. I'm going back to school, finishing up with that. So yeah, it's just been chill. You know, I just got to go on a little trip for my birthday.
Oh, very nice.
West Texas, so yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So Cassidy, you were cast for Survivor 43, but that was not your first potential window to go to Fiji, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So I had a similar story to Jesse. I was cast
you were in
on
a gang.
Yes. Yeah. To PhD to no, yeah. I'm not that I, but I you know, we actually had our finals week together in 2019 and we both got cast on 41, right? And I was a week away from leaving. I was so excited, had total imposter syndrome the same way he did. But I was a week away and we got the call about, the trip being canceled because of the pandemic. And then I spent the next year just like hoping that we could figure something out, we could get back out there. And then by the time they did figure everything out, they had kind of changed the cast around and I was taken off the cast. So that was super devastating for me. I had like a tiny little bit of hope that was given to me by the casting director, but it wasn't much to go off of. But I knew that like, if I wanted to get back on the show, like I had to get back in the right mindset. And so, you know, I spent some time preparing and just getting excited about the show, started watching 41, even though it was really hard for me. And then I re-auditioned for 43 and I got cast back on the show. So at that point I was like, you know, this wasn't a fluke. Like I'm meant to play the game. You know, I got on twice and this is like my second chance as well. And I saw it in the same light. I was like, I'm not wasting this chance. And I worked out really hard. Just studied the game super hard and I prepared as much as I could. I was way more prepared the second time going in. So it all kind of happened how it was meant to. But obviously at the time I didn't know that, but it's so yeah. Kind of a roller coaster.
Sure. Cassie, did you have a Survivor role model coming in?
I have a lot of Survivor role models, right? Because I've been with it from the beginning, but there was a lot of, you know, strong female players that I really looked up to in the game. Like Parvati. It's funny, I actually look back and I have a lot in common with Amanda. The different stuff that we've done, the different jobs and all this. Like, so I kind of look back at that after I played the game and I was like, whoa, that's kind of crazy. But I looked up to her. I love, like, this is not necessarily someone who I was going to emulate my game after because we're so different, but like, I loved Christian. I actually got to hang out with him the other day. So that was really cool. Mm-hmm. There's so many, like, there's Andrea, you know, there's so many amazing, but I did look up to a lot of women in the show. And yeah. So many in my head.
Okay. I was curious because, you know, you had this famous quote that you say in the first episode of the show. You said, I want to play like a fox, clever and cunning. I want to outmaneuver people. I want to be sneaky. I don't want to play a loud in your face game because a lot of times women can't get away with that the same way that men can. And it's interesting because, I mean, you too kind of called your shot for, you know, the game plan that you had for the game. And, you know, you kind of, you know, stuck to your guns. It was also prophetic, prediction you made about the results of that game. But yeah. I think that's so interesting that, you know, had this game plan and you did stick to it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I knew based off of like my personality and my my strengths and my weaknesses, like that was the game that was going to give me the best chances of getting to the end. And I saw a path to the end. I really did, like, with that strategy. And I tried to embrace it as much as I could. But I think obviously it ended up biting me a little bit in the end because I didn't have those big flashy moves on my resume to talk to the jury about. But at the same time, like, how do you make big flashy moves without getting an idol or an advantage, right? So I had to figure out how to play the game without either of those, how to make moves without either of those. So I made a lot of really, I don't want to say they're small, but like smart, like calculated moves to get myself to the end. But none of them were super flashy in your face. And I worked a lot with other people in the moves that I made. So yeah, it was, it worked for me. Like, it got me to the end. And I'm not sure how much, like, what else I could have done or done differently for the outcome to have been, you know, me winning. I think if I had played differently, I might not have gotten to the end. So I stayed true to, like, myself and to how I wanted to play the game. And, I did the best that I could, I think, at the end of the day, and just wasn't quite enough, but it was close, you know, and I'm proud of that.
Can you tell us a little bit about life at Coco? I feel like that from a lot of the scenes that we saw, you know, I feel like that you were sort of like really pushing, like, you know, like go Coco vibes in terms of like, you know, okay, this is like we're building a community here with something that you said. And I felt like that you really like were kind of pushing positivity about Coco. Is that the way that you saw it?
I think at the time, yes, because we just meshed so well at the beginning. I remember the first day on Coco, we all sat in the water and shared a little bit about ourselves. And it was just, we just had such a bond already as a tribe. And, you know, and then we won a couple and that kind of brought us together even more. And I think that we all really liked each other at first, you know, and then you're living with people 24/7, right? And you're starting to get on each other's nerves a little bit about your different habits. And then you're also trying to play the game. So you're trying to, you know, get yourself in a good situation. And to be in a good situation in the game, there has to be people outside of that that you can vote out, right? So you start like turning on each other internally before we ever had a chance to externally do that. And that can cause tension as well. So the first few days were great while we were winning and we really did enjoy each other's company and all that. But, you know, as it happens, like just time went on and there wasn't really much we could do. So because we weren't going to tribal, so we did start grating on each other's nerves a little bit. So it didn't stay that way for long, but at first it was a really great experience. Like I was terrified going in that I wouldn't get along with anybody or nobody was going to like me or it was just going to be like crazy off the bat. And it really wasn't like that. It was pretty enjoyable. So that was a cool way to kind of, get into the game. But obviously didn't last very long.
We saw in the show that I think it looked like from what we saw on television that it seemed like that Lindsay was the first one to connect with James. We saw a lot of Carla working with James, but mm-hmm. was it actually, were you and James actually the tightest duo on Coco?
From my point of view, I would say yes. Because me and James formed an alliance the first day. And we were like, we are an unlikely pair. People may not see us, you know, coming. And so let's look out for each other. Let's have each other's backs. Like, I will tell you if anybody brings up your name, you tell me, like, we will have each other's backs. And we really formed that bond early on. And we were like each other's day ones. And so, you know, the whole time when I was playing the game, I was forming bonds with other people. Like I had an alliance with Ryan. I had an alliance with Carla and Lindsay, but then I was also super close with James. And the whole time I was like wanting to move forward with James specifically. But then I started growing, you know, getting closer with Carla and with Lindsay too. And we kind of became a foursome. So, but like me and James always kept that tight bond going into the merge and all of that. But I mean, yeah, I would ask James for sure, but I think me and James both agree that we were probably the tightest, but you know, it was so early on that, you know.
Yeah. A big part of your story in the pre-merge was that there seemed to be some friction between the duo of Gio and Ryan and yourself. And I feel like that in like the exit interviews, I'd ask some questions about what was going on there? What was their beef with Cassidy about things? And other than that, Gio wanted to chop something up differently than you. I never really got like a straight answer of like what the issue was with those guys.
Yeah, I think Gio had mentioned in one of his interviews that it was about the cassava thing. And then ever since then, we kind of just didn't get along. But that wasn't the case for me. I was open to having alliances with everybody, right? And I talked to everybody on the first day because I didn't want to be left behind. I wanted to be in the core alliance from the beginning. So I had careful conversations, you know, strategic conversations with everybody. And, I was talking strategy with Gio and Ryan at the beginning and with Lindsay and everyone else. But I think on day two, I ended up getting my moon time, which is what I call my period, right? And I got a little bit of a headache that day. It was like at night, we're by the fire, we're just chilling. It's like not interfering with anything with camp life or anything. I just had like a little bit of a headache. So I didn't want to eat this like breadfruit that we had found. It's like really sweet. It's almost like sugar cane. You can't really eat it, but you can. I was like, I had a headache. So I was like, you know, I'm good. I don't really want to just have a little bit of a headache. Right. That's it. That's the only way in which it affected me. And the next day, I guess to preference this, so me and Gio would have conversations and he would say stuff to me like, we're the weakest on the tribe. We need to protect each other. And I'm like, well, first of all, like speak for yourself. I do not feel like the weakest on the tribe. But he would say stuff like that. And then I find out that the next day after I mentioned I had a headache, he was telling people like, oh my God, Cassidy's already like weak. She already has a headache. Like she doesn't want to eat the food we got. And I'm pretty sure I found that the red fruit. She didn't want to eat the food, like, you know, so he threw me under the bus and was like trying to, and I get it. I mean, cause he felt like he was the smallest guy and he was probably on the chopping block from the beginning. So I get it. But he would have these conversations like, we need to protect each other. And then he would go and throw me under the bus. So after that happened, I had to go up to him, to Ryan, to James, all the guys and be like, hey, I'm on my period. I'm fine. I had a headache. Sometimes I get a headache the first day, all good. And of course, when he found that, he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't know and whatever. So I was like, man, am I about to be voted out literally because I'm a woman? No, I'm just kidding. So that was kind of what put me off to Gio. Right. And I didn't really trust him after that. And then I would still talk to Ryan, talk strategy with him. And I wanted to kind of play the middle as much as I could. So I was strategizing with Ryan and fake strategizing with Gio. And then I started getting closer with Lindsay and Carla and James. And I just felt like they were strategically like-minded and I could actually work with them long-term. Whereas with Ryan and Gio, I didn't really trust them. And I didn't know like if they would screw up the game somehow, like strategically, because I just didn't feel like they were on the same wavelength as me and the kind of game I wanted to play. So that pushed me away from Gio, and we were already targeting Gio from the beginning, I guess. So, it wasn't like that big of a deal, but we just kind of started getting on each other's nerves. And what bothered me about the cassava thing was that I found the cassava. Like I fed our tribe for days with the cassava and I just wanted to chop it differently one time, just like, cause we were eating it like in these big sticks, like day after day. And it was kind of getting old. So I was like, let's make what are those breakfast potatoes? Like, let's chop them up and like, it'll be fun, you know, different shape. Maybe it'll feel different. But then he was like, just being kind of like, territorial about the whole cutting up. And I was like, I found this, dude. What?
Cassie, this is Survivor. The people at home listening, like, oh, what they fight about vegetable. I mean, that's the half of the discussion you have out there.
Yeah, literally, like all you're talking about is food. And
cook the rice this way. What are you doing? Like, that's as old as Survivor gets.
Exactly. Especially when you're not going to tribal. So it's just day after day of this kind of same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when Lindsay ends up on the chopping block here, that I don't remember you them really going to you in the episode for how you felt, but you're like, hey, we got these two guys, Gio and Ryan. What are we doing voting out Lindsay?
Yeah. So the thing with the Lindsay vote, I think I feel bad about this now because I love Lindsay. She's an incredible person.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I know. But I think I brought up Lindsay's name first. And this was definitely risky for me because I knew that Carla was getting closer to Lindsay. I would see them go off. I mean, us three would have conversations a lot, but I'd see them go off and I didn't know how close they were. But I started getting nervous about her because she was like, really like, you know, she was a hard player. She was a good player. She was playing hard from the beginning. She was like wanting to go through Gio's bag, or she had already done it. She wanted to like look for the idol with me. And at the time I didn't know, like, she was trying to include me in this, but I thought maybe is she trying to incriminate me in case she gets, like, I just didn't know. And I was like, this is like kind of to already be like, let's go look for the idol. It made me nervous. And so I brought it up to Carla knowing that it was a risk that she could be closer to Lindsay than she feels to me. And she might go run and tell Lindsay and then I'm screwed. But I felt like it was worth the risk because I wasn't sure I wanted to go to the merge with her. I definitely trusted her more than Gio, but at that point I was like, you know, if I can put another person, on the pecking order that, you know, hopefully will keep me farther away from being voted out. Right. And so I brought it up with Carla and luckily she agreed and she was like, yeah, I feel nervous about her too. And I think that was that moment where me and Carla really, strengthened our alliance together. And so, Carla was already on, or Lindsay was already on our minds from that point on, but we wanted to vote her out maybe second, definitely not first, right? And because we trusted Gio the least. And Lindsay was still like, I don't know. I felt like she provided more to the tribe. So that was kind of my thought. But then, and I had told Ryan that day when we were voting Gio, I had told him like, it's Lindsay, we're voting Lindsay, right? And I took that risk on as well because it was going to be Gio, but I didn't want him. I still was in an alliance with him. And so, I was just trying to play both sides, right? But then I go to a confessional and I'm gone for like an hour. And then apparently the plan changes to Lindsay last minute. I'm just like, why? Like, what's going on? And James like wouldn't really give me a straight answer. And I don't even think he really knew personally at the time, but it had just changed and we were about to leave. And so I was like, okay, like, I mean, as long as it's not me, it's the first vote we're going to. So I just don't want it to be me, but I didn't understand why we were kind of screwing up this plan we had had in motion for like 9 days. So that was kind of like what happened with the Lindsay vote. I wasn't fully aware at the time of what had happened. I found out after, but
yeah,
I still didn't know if it was a great reason to turn it on her, but
yeah. One last thing with Coco before that we get to the merge was that you had to endure this story from Ryan, which I went back and watched, and it is like very laughable. Like what you are listening to from him about how he says that he threw the challenge, but then is telling you all that, oh, look, I blew it. So look, I don't want you to have to worry. So everybody can just vote me out of the tribe. And you're like, is this for real? Come on. What are we doing here? And then Gio goes to go to Shipwheel Island. And then you are saying like, hey, the Gio could have an advantage. Why don't we vote out Ryan? Did you feel like that you got a satisfactory answer as to why are we voting out Gio in this spot?
Yeah. So what happened with that was, you know, first of all, we thought that Gio and Ryan were looking for idols the entire time. Like they would always go off and look for papayas and would come back with like two in like 2 hours, right? Or something like that. So, and they were just going off so much that we were like, there's no way they're not looking for idols. They had already become a super tight duo. So there was no reason for me not to believe that they might have an idol, right? And then Gio goes to the Triple Island and I'm like, oh great. Like now he could have another advantage. Like he could have an idol that's only good for this tribal. He could have a steal a vote, like any number of things that could turn back on me. And I was the target of their alliance. So like, if I didn't know for sure what was going on, like it was just a huge risk because if he got something that he was going to play that night and he thought the votes were going on him and he played it for himself or something, like it would just be me going home. Whereas he probably wouldn't suspect us voting Ryan out because Ryan's strong. He, you know, we needed for challenges. The truth was, you know, we were starting to get closer to the merge. And I was like, I just don't see why. It's just not a risk. Like it's not worth the risk, right? At the time. But then this is something that didn't get caught on camera because like a camera actually wasn't following me at this time. But when Gio got back, I went and followed him and Ryan because they went off to look for papayas and I went and followed them. And I went out deep into the forest and then I hear them coming back. And so I ducked down this other path and on our island, the grass was really tall. So I ducked down this path and I hide, crouched down in the grass and I hear them coming back and they're like, you know, maybe there's not even an idol on this island. Like we've literally looked everywhere, like exactly the information I was looking for, they gave to me as they're walking by. And they're like, yeah, there must not even be an idol here. So I was like, okay, great. They don't have the idol. I feel much better now. But
wow. You're like Tony. Then,
yeah, literally. And it was like, it was cool. Cause I wish it had gotten caught on camera because I just got the exact information I needed. But at the same time, I don't know if I would have been able to hide the same way I did with like all the cameras following me. Right. So, and I even remember as they're walking by me, they're like, should we go look down here? And I'm like, oh my God, like they might come. So I like pull my pants down, not all the way, like not my underwear, but just my pants. And I was like crouching down just to pretend like I was peeing or something. Cause like in case I got caught. And then the other one was like, no, like we have to go to tribal soon. So let's just go back. And so I got away with it. But so I knew they didn't have the idol, right? And I think right before that, either before or after this, Carla came and told me that Gio had knowledge is power. Because like as soon as he got back, he showed her the advantage she had. And so she comes up to me and I was nervous, right? Rightfully so. And I was talking to her and James about it. And then she was like, don't worry, like he has a knowledge is power. So we're, you know, regret. And I'm like, okay, thank God. Like he's not going to use that tonight. There's nobody even knows about an idol and they clearly don't have one. So, after those two bits of information were given, or after I figured those two things out, I was like, okay, we're good. Like, yeah, let's vote Gio. And I was very confident going into, for the most part, going into tribal, but yeah, so that's kind of how that shook out. But the whole like story, the whole ride, like that was just, and once I felt safe, like that was just so funny to me, especially at tribal. He was just really like, he was just driving it, like he's just driving it so far home. It was like,
it seemed like Jeff was even getting a little like, all right, come on, really? For real? Is this real? We're really saying this?
It was just like, why are you being so, acting like you're being so noble about this when it's a lie? Like, it was just so funny to me. And that was definitely a really satisfying vote, I would say, especially because all that happened and especially because I knew he was lying the whole time. And that was part of the reason why I didn't want to work with Ryan long term, is because I saw that, like, he wasn't necessarily like the most strategic person in the world. And I was worried that would somehow screw up our plans in the future, right? And like, you know, you saw not the best acting skills, but...
Cass, and you said that I'm the one that put the blanks in your gun. I have the bullets.
Yeah. I'm so glad they showed that. That was really funny. That was a great, great ending to that whole day and vote. And yeah. And especially because Gio went home, right? If I had gone home, I would have just looked like an idiot, but
yeah,
it worked out. So...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Okay, let's get into talking about the individual portion of the game. And you're going to be vulnerable at this first vote. And, you know, you're sort of like in the middle of things. A lot of the conversations that are going on because you are up for the vote. You're one of the first people we see talking with Ellie about. She's saying, okay, well, like, how about Cody? Let's do Cody. Meanwhile, she's working to try to, you know, split votes against you and James. Did you suspect something was up with Ellie?
Yeah. So what was complicated about Ellie was, you know, when all the women, we had had a whole day together once we merged before this challenge to all get to know each other. And the women had come together at some point because in the, maybe it was after this challenge, but at some point Jeff had mentioned like there's a historical number of women getting voted out of the game. And so that was kind of fresh in our minds. And all the women got together and were like, we need to protect each other. And I was definitely like spearheading that. I was like, y'all, like, let's look out for each other. You know, we don't want to be picked off one by one. And so I felt like we had, there was some sense of like, of that, I don't want to say sisterhood, but that just like, you know, that vibe going forward. I was hoping that they were being, you know, genuine about that. But then I also had a conversation with Ellie about her sister and my sister. They had very similar stories. Like, we both lost our sisters to overdose, and they were like the same age. They were both like a couple years older than us. And it was just like, it was so similar that I felt a connection with her instantly because of that. And we had planned to like sit down and really talk about our experiences. But we didn't get that chance, right? Because Ellie ended up going home that vote. But that was part of the reason why I think I wanted to believe her, because I felt that like deep connection with her and that grief and that loss. Like, I hadn't really met anybody who had such a similar experience with their older sister. And so I felt like I didn't want to vote Ellie out because of that. And I also felt like maybe we could work together, since we shared such an intense like kind of story. And so that's why I didn't want to believe that she was playing me, right? Like, I didn't want to. Obviously, I knew she was playing hard and she was very social, and I could see that she was a player, and I felt her threat level. But for that first vote, I didn't want to see another woman go home. And I liked Ellie. I liked Owen and Sammy, and Cody just seems like the kind of odd man out because there was 2 Coco and 3 Baca. And I didn't know, I just hadn't felt a real connection with him yet. So it just seemed
it
like,
seemed like she wanted James and you were the backup.
Yeah. But still, it was like, But yeah. Still, she threw my name out there. And so as soon as I found out she was throwing my name out there, I was like, okay, you know, and Gabler was really pushing for her. So I was like, all right, well then done. Like, I'm sorry. But like, as much as I felt connected to her and I wanted a woman to stay, I wanted to stay more. And so I had to put that to the side, but that was kind of why I wanted to trust her and why I didn't want to believe that she was playing me. But then once I heard that she was, I was like, okay, well, you know, I did okay. What I could.
All right. So obviously we all know how that played out. When the seven comes together, how were you feeling about the Coco Four? And then all of a sudden here comes, it's Cody and Jesse and Sammy. Were you cool with bringing these three in particular on?
Yeah, I think it felt to me sort of like a lifeline because of what had happened between Baca and Vessi in the past and the challenges. It felt like they were, you know, they were working together. They worked together to send us to tribal. And I felt like there might have been that little bit of rapport between them already. And I knew they were going to target us because Coco had seemed like such a strong tribe at the beginning. And that kind of stuck with us into the merge. So whenever they were like wanting to vote out, you know, one of their own, I was like, this seems almost too good to be true. But I felt a connection with Jesse for sure. Like from the first day we had a long conversation about like, we went to finals together. We sat right next to each other to do this one test. And he was just really cool and like interesting. And he made me laugh a bunch. And we talked about like joked about Applebee's and stuff. So I liked him and I wanted to
like wanting it for a reward.
We both like, I ironically wanted Applebee's. Like we both ironically thought Applebee's is like the funniest thing ever. And I don't know why, like me and my friend have a joke about that. And so he started joking about it. It was good. But so it felt like a lifeline, and then I liked Jesse, and I didn't trust Dwight that much at that point. So when they were willing to vote out one of their own, I was like, okay, And Carla felt really close to Jesse, so it seemed like it would work out. Obviously, you have no idea if it's really going to pan out or not, but after that first vote, we voted Dwight out, it felt like we had built a little bit of trust, and then we kind of kept voting together. And so it really was... because we could have been picked off like as you know the Coco Four, so it was nice to have that lifeline and for things to kind of shake up at the merge.
Sure. So the next vote ends up being the Janine vote. I'd love to dig in a little bit more on your feelings about the Janine vote. This is like the first time we really see you in the season, like wanting to put your foot down and go in a different direction. You ultimately are one of the votes to vote out Ryan. Even though then afterwards, everybody thinks it was Owen who does it. So could you talk a little bit about your feelings during this round?
Yeah. So with this vote, I was I didn't want to vote another woman out. Like I had said, there were more reasons why I voted Ryan than just that. But that was one of the reasons. And then I feel like I had heard maybe Ryan throw my name out or something, or I don't know. Like I just started to feel less trust with Ryan again. And he was also a threat at challenges, right? So that was another reason why I was like, you know, and I felt like we had kind of solidified with Jesse and Cody, hopefully. And I feel like maybe even taking out one of our own would build even more trust with them. But when I voted for Ryan, like, you know, everyone was voting Janine. I knew that. I could have just hopped on the bandwagon and voted Janine. But I was thinking about it and I'm like, there's multiple reasons why I should vote Ryan. And so I'll go through it. So the first reason was I didn't want to vote a woman out, right? I didn't want to write Janine's name down. And I told her that I wouldn't write her name down. And so I was thinking, you know, if I don't write her name down and I knew she was going to most likely end up on the jury, maybe I can, that will be one of the pitches to her at the end, why she should vote for me. Right. So it was kind of jury management in a way. It was also, everybody was voting for Janine. So if she played her shot in the dark, which she was considering, she like asked me, should I play it? Like, I knew that all of the votes would be for her and then her vote wouldn't count, right? She wouldn't have a vote. And then mm-hmm. we'd have this mad scramble and everybody would, you know, and I could be on the chopping block. I could be voted out. So I was like, if she plays her shot in the dark successfully and I, you know, I'll be the one who controls who goes home. So that was another reason why I wrote Ryan's name down. And the third reason was I knew that nobody would know it was me. Nobody would be able to prove it. Nobody, like you just, I could deny it. There's no way anybody would trace it back to me. So for me, like it only made sense to vote Ryan. And it didn't make sense to vote Janine because of all of those reasons. So that was where my head was at going into that vote. And I don't regret it at all. I still think it was a good move, especially if things had shaked out differently.
So the one thing that I think I never really understood was, so Owen ends up taking the blame for it. Was this a happy accident that people were mad at Owen for doing it? Because you ultimately end up being close allies with Owen. Or did you and Owen ever have a conversation of like, hey, you like let people keep thinking it's you. And then that was something that like brought you two together.
No, I never told anybody that I did that. I didn't tell anybody in my alliance. I didn't tell anybody that I did that because I didn't want it to be traced back to me and to upset Ryan in any way. I just was like, I'm keeping this to myself till the end. And with Owen, I don't know why he did. I still don't really know why he did that. Because it just made it look worse that he didn't know what was happening again. But we had kind of put it on him anyways. And I don't know if he had thought like people thought it was him. And so he just kind of went with it. But, in my mind, I was just like, I'm just going to pretend like it was somebody on the bottom. And like, mm-hmm. I really wasn't sure why he did that, but it ended up working out in my favor. Right. Cause it was even less cause Ryan thought it might've been me. Right. I think he had a confessional about that. And so with Owen taking credit, it was like, oh, great. You know what I mean? So that was just a happy accident, I think.
Okay, so the next vote ends up being the split vote where it's, you, Gabler, Ryan, Jesse, and Cody. And this comes up in the final tribal council about that they talk about how like they really wanted to just go based off of who was the first person voted out at the other tribal council. But do you feel like that there were things that you did during that round that that really did help sow the seeds of Ryan being the person that they would want to get rid of?
I mean, I did as much as I could that day to convince them why Ryan was a better person to go over me, because I knew that it was probably going to be between me and Ryan. I had spent a lot of time cultivating a relationship with Gabler at this point because I figured that I would be able to use him down the line, work with him down the line. And Gabler tells me to this day, I don't know if this is true or not, but he tells me he was never going to vote my name. So I don't really know for sure if he was on board with that plan or not. Because I've tried, I'm like, it's okay. Like, I'm not mad. You can definitely, but he still, claims that he was never going to write my name down. So,
point in lying after the game.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what to believe, but I had spent a lot of time getting close with Gabler. I kind of wanted to be almost one of his daughters, right? And kind of be that figure for him. And so I felt like I had really good relationships. I had started, bonding with Cody more. I definitely had a lot of good conversations with Jesse. And I felt like my social relationships with them, and we strategized a lot together. I felt like hopefully that would save me. But I know that they could have potentially seen me as a threat, too, because of that. So I knew that I was on the chopping block. But Ryan had also that day, he had like bothered a lot of people because of the peanut butter and jelly reward we got. He was like, we had all made one sandwich, and he made like two at the beginning, and then we all made one. And then with each, we hadn't even all made our second, or it was like second. It was like a little half sandwich, but we hadn't even made our second before. He was like taking the peanut butter and jelly and scooping it on for each bite, and then taking a bite on top of his already made sandwich, scooping for each bite. And we're all just like, so like, I feel like that kind of, cause everybody's so hungry and we're all just like, right. So I think, I kind of played off of that a little bit and was like, oh my God, like what is Ryan doing? I tried to like throw him under the bus a little bit more with that. And he was kind of, I think he was getting on people's nerves a little bit. And so I tried to play off that as well. I did everything I could, and I had no reason to believe that it wasn't because they wanted to work with me at that point, and because of my social relationships with them, that I was saved. Obviously, I didn't know the plan they had until they told me at the end, but
mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So Ryan ends up going out, and then you and Carla, now there's no James. Could you just talk about how not having James changed the relationship with Carla, whether it was a strain or what brought you two closer together?
I think, gosh, I still remember being so sad when I saw James. I didn't realize that him being on the jury was what actually saved me, but I think it was a bummer, but at the same time, I was getting nervous because he was starting to rub people the wrong way a little bit with just like kind of taking charge of the Coco Alliance. And I was allowing him and Carla to do that while I was also, forming my own relationships and bonds with people on the side. But like, I think it took a little heat off of me when he got voted out. So I was, at the end of the day, okay with it. And me and Carla were already pretty close at this point. We had worked together the whole time. We had had each other's backs throughout, you know, all of it, throughout the merge. So I still felt I was close to Carla at that point. So it wasn't a total loss because she was still there and we were pretty close. And then for me, I felt like, okay, maybe they'll like chill out about like trying to target Coco. And so that was kind of where my head was at. I felt like I didn't feel like I wanted to go to the end with either of them really at that point, because I wanted to have a completely like unique game based off of who I was sitting next to. And we had done everything together up to that point. So it was a bummer, but at the same time, I felt like it kind of took some heat off of me and then the Coco, you know, the Hydra, as they called it. Mm-hmm. So it was bittersweet, I guess.
So when Noelle ends up going on the reward, we see Noelle talking with a lot of people about that she wants the people that she's with to go after you and Carla. You know, at the same time, you know, you and Carla are talking about, you know, Noelle is a threat. Was there anything about this round and targeting Noelle that you want to highlight in terms of things that you did in the game?
Oh yeah, definitely. So this was kind of a big vote, I think, for me, because Noelle was one of the people that wrote my name down at one of the merge votes. And mm-hmm. So like I said, like, or whenever anybody, you know, came after me, I heard they brought my name up or they wrote my name down or anything like that. I put them in a list in my head. And Cassidy curse. And whenever I had the chance to go after them or target them, like I did my best to push those people because I knew that like if they came after me once, they were most likely going to come after me again. And it was just not a safe, it wasn't safe to have them in the game for me. And so with Noelle winning this reward, right, it kind of put her on this pedestal and brought her into people's eyes as more of a threat. And so that afternoon when she took Jesse and Owen and I think it was Owen and Sammy on that reward, I spent the whole afternoon like bonding with Cody. We had already bonded, but like talking with him, convincing him why we had to get Noelle out, because he had felt this like, he told me this, he had felt this like, he wanted to work with Noelle. He wanted them to be able to get on the same page eventually. He didn't want to vote her out. He had this like bond with her for some reason, even though she kept doing things that were like opposite to what he wanted. And he still wanted to keep giving her chances to come back around. And I told him, I was like you, I essentially convinced him that we needed to get Noelle out and that it was never going to work out. Like that alliance was never going to work out. And if it did, and you went to the end with her, like she's going to beat you, you know? And I kind of just put her as a huge threat in his mind. And I convinced him, and he even told me this, at Final Tribal, and that day that I convinced him to turn on Noelle. And after, you know, there's that whole moment at Final Tribal where I say that my social relationship saved me with, from the Ryan vote. And obviously like Final Tribal is so stressful and you're exhausted and you're like, just trying to think of like the first thing that comes to your mind. Right. So I said that, and then they're like, no, actually, blah, blah, blah. But then I brought up the fact that I convinced Cody to, vote Noelle out of the game. And he even admitted, yeah, that you did do that. So I got credit for that. And that was something I had said right after, which wasn't aired, but, that was like a huge, I feel like, turning point in my game, because I had to get Noelle out. I knew that like, if I didn't, she was going to eventually come after me and get me out. It just felt like me or her at that point. And then they wouldn't have that person, from their original tribe to like turn to towards the end, you know? And so for me, that was one of the crucial votes, was getting Noelle out, that turn. And then that left Owen without an alliance. And at that point, I was really wanting to go to the end with Gabler and Owen. That was what was in my mind for like the last, I want to say like 8 to 10 days of the game. I was like, Owen, I have to examine with Owen and Gabler. This is my chance of winning. That's the only chance I have of winning. And so that left Owen without an alliance, that close alliance member. And so I wanted to be that person now for Owen and bridge that gap. I had never really lied to Owen too much. I tried to like talk as little strategy with him as possible, because I didn't want to lie to him and burn a bridge, because I liked him. And I thought, you know, after he kind of was on the wrong side of multiple votes, I was like, maybe I can work with him eventually to turn on my original alliance, because they started emerging as bigger and bigger threats. And while I was able to sort of hide a little bit behind them, I also knew I couldn't go to the end with them and I had to have a backup plan. So I had started putting that into motion as much as I could throughout these votes.
Sammy ends up being the next person to be voted out. He ends up being on the wrong side of this vote. He ends up having a conversation with Carla. He throws your name out there. Just for the record, did you ever suggest to Sammy about voting out Carla?
Yeah, so this is the thing that happened with the whole Carla-Sammy thing. So I knew Carla had an idol from before Janine went home. She had told me about the beads, right? After Dwight... her idol went home and allegedly in Dwight's pants. I talked to her about the idol. I was like, so what was the deal? Now that she didn't have the idol, I felt comfortable to talk to her about it. She told me it was the beads thing. And I was like, oh, I specifically remember Carla asking me for beads, and she gave me her earring, and I didn't really want her earring. Cause I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. And also like, it's your earring. Like they're a pair. It's fine. Like, you can just have a bead. I didn't see it as like suspicious at the time. And so she was like, no, please take it. Like, please, I want you to have a piece of me. And now I see it as like, she's like trying to almost like, extend gratitude for me giving her the idol at the time. Obviously I didn't know that, but I remember that moment. And I was like, that's why she gave me, forced her earring on me. So I knew she had the idol. I wanted to use that information, as smart or as strategically as possible at the right moment. And I didn't want to tell her that I knew, obviously, because I just had an instinct that she was going to target me if she knew I had it, or if she knew that I knew she had it. And then, I was just waiting for the right moment to use the information, to get Carla out, because I eventually started seeing her as like my biggest threat in the game, because we had played such similar games, but she was just really good at, she was just very persuasive and good at talking with people and good at talking at tribal. So I knew at Final Tribal Council, that wasn't my like strongest, asset, was like public speaking, but I felt like she was really good at it. And that made me nervous to like sit at the end with her. So I kept this information to myself, and I tried to plant seeds with certain people that I felt could help me get her out when the time was right. So people like Sammy, I was, talking with, and I was like, reason that I kind of put a target on Carla was because people were looking at me, James, and Carla as like and then the whole Coco Four is like threatening. And Sammy like came up to me one time and asked, are you close with, are you super close with Carla and James? And I was like, honestly, I'm not that close with them. Like, I don't want to sit at the end with them. I see them emerging as threats. And so I was trying to like keep the target off my back in that way as well, by saying that, I wasn't that close and I didn't want to go to the end with them. Right. So that Sammy might see that as an opening and not group us all together as a solid alliance. And so I had planted those seeds with Sammy, and we had talked about it. And even with the Noel vote, he was trying to vote out Carla, and he told me that. And I was like, we can't vote out Carla yet. Like, it has to be the right time. This is not the right vote for this. We have to get Noel out, because if we don't, she's going to gather numbers again, and it's going to flip on us. We have to make sure we're in the majority before we blindside Carla. And then he didn't listen to me. Right. And then it ends up kind of blowing up in his face. And so then that's when he used that information to throw me under the bus, with Carla. And of course, like, I denied it, but, because she had an idol as well. It was like obviously that would have been a huge move for me to blindside her. Right. So it didn't end up working out in the way that I wanted it to, but that was kind of, so it was true what Sammy had said. Right.
That's interesting, because the show makes it like it's like a lie that he made up out of nowhere. Something else I noticed when I went back and was watching this, Carla says that, I told Cassidy that I had the idol. Now I have to vote her out. And we see a flashback eventually to that conversation. But that conversation actually starts with you say to Carla, hey, Carla, just if you did have the idol, like I wouldn't be mad at you.
Yeah.
Did you ask that question? Is sort of like, was that entrapment?
So I'm trying to think back to that exact conversation, when that was. I think I was trying to decide whether, because she was like getting really nervous about that vote, because that was a vote that they were targeting her, like Sammy and Noel and all them. And I think I was like, she was like hinting to me, I can't remember exactly why I brought it up, because I was trying to keep that card as close to my chest as I could. But I think she was like wanting to tell me something, and I just had been like, so like, what is it like, Dear the Idol? Because I think what she wanted me to do at that time was to hold it for her. Yeah. Because she was nervous about the knowledge's power. And so she was kind of, I can't remember exactly how that conversation went, but she eventually asked me to hold it for her, and I was like, I honestly can't speak to that specifically, because I don't remember exactly how the conversation went.
Yeah, that sounds right based off of when I talked to Carla.
Yeah. But I knew about it the whole time, and I had talked about it in many confessionals about like, what am I going to do with this information? Like, I'm just trying to figure out the best way to use it. But then she ended up telling me about it, and I didn't have time to do anything she gave me her idol, right? If I had time, I could have pulled off some type of move. Maybe I could have voted for her and, you know, like gotten a few other people to
pull the Jesse
and kept the idol. But it was like too risky at the time, because it was like literally she smartly gave it to me right before tribal. So I couldn't do anything with the information. I'm just sitting with it in my sock, and I'm like, oh, like I wish that I had time to do something about this.
Okay. Anything from the Cody vote that you want to highlight?
The Cody vote. Yes. Okay. So, I think leading up to that vote, me and Jesse had started getting closer. We started talking about, how we didn't really want to go to the end with our alliance members, and how we felt like we needed to vote them out to make ourselves and our game stand out. So we had already been talking and strategizing ways in which we could potentially get out Carla and Cody and sort of go to the end together. Cause at the time he hadn't really done anything obvious that made him a huge threat in my mind. And everyone, you know, watching the show back is like, why didn't you guys target them? Like, they really weren't all the votes that we had done together. We had strategized and come up with a lot of the plans together. So it wasn't anything so obvious that they had done, right? Looking back, you see these little conversations and scenes that they had, but that wasn't common knowledge. So so we had planned, and also I was kicking myself, because I was like, how did we let two people with idols get to the final six? Like, what the hell? Like, what are we? We're screwed. Like, what are we going to do, right? And I remember at the Cody vote, luckily I won the immunity necklace, right? Because I was on the chopping block again.
Second win, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Woo. And I got them right as I needed them too, which was really cool. But, I remember we get back to camp, and I was like wanting to get Cody out, because he had just done the Choose Your Champion thing. It was like the biggest thing that had happened at tribal for the jury to see yet. And so he had emerged as like the next person ready to go. And I had heard he had said my name too at some point. And so this is a great time to get Cody out, but we knew he had an idol. But I was like, I just felt like he was bluffing, and he came up to me. He was just laying it on so thick about how he was playing his idol. Like, no matter what, he's playing his idol. So like, you know, like, who are we going to, I'm not going home. So, and he just laid it on so thick to the point where I was like, he's bluffing. Like, I just don't think he's going to play his idol. So I told everybody, I was like, I'm still voting Cody. Obviously, like, I was safe, so it was less of a risk for me, but I was like, I'm still voting Cody. And then I find out that, you know, Jesse comes and tells me that he has Cody's idol. And I was like, oh my God, like, what can we do with this? And he's like, you know, I think I want to play his idol for Owen or for someone else. And then, maybe that'll spook Carla and so we're like, oh my, this is a genius plan. Cause then we can, if this goes well, like, there's so many things in this plan that can go wrong, but if everything goes exactly right, we'll have flushed both idols and gotten a big threat out of the game. It was like a beautiful move. And I remember, you know, just talking about it, and we were really excited about it. We were so nervous. We had to like tiptoe and speak so carefully to Carla and to Cody to like not give anything away and to make them think that we were going to vote Gabler or something, because we're like, I was like, I know you're playing your idol. So I'm not like and I'm not going to vote you anyways. We're in an alliance. Like, what should we do? Right. So I had to like put on my best acting pants and just make sure that Carla and Cody didn't get, you know, suspicious of anything, especially Cody. Cause right. He would ask for, and he did ask for the idol back. And I remember that being a whole thing, but he got it back, you know, towards the end of tribal. And so that, I mean, that was like one of the, it was so cool to be part of such a big move.
Yeah. An all-timer.
And so, huh?
An all-time move.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and you know, kudos to Jesse, like, for putting himself in a situation where he had that kind of power to like pull that off. But it was just, it was really cool to, and it solved most of our issues, right, going into the finals, because yeah, we got both idols out and still got one of the people with idols out. So it was, I remember that being just like one of the coolest experiences. But I did feel, I felt bad as well, but like he had come after me, he had said my name multiple times. So
don't do it. Yep. That's what happens. Cassidy, so we got to talk the day after the season finished airing about a lot of the stuff that happened in the finale. And so I'm just looking at how much time we have left. And so is there anything else that's from the episodes? Because I want to get your reaction to, you know, what the last couple of weeks and all the discourse around the like reaction to the season. But is there anything else that you feel like that's very important that you say about the events from the like actual game in the finale?
I don't know.
And,
I think,
and the obvious answer is yes, probably about 4 hours worth of stuff.
Yes. That's why I'm like, I'm trying to pick and choose, you know, pick if there's anything specific. I mean, I don't know. I think it was just, it was tough because I did everything that I thought I was supposed to do right. And it was just unfortunate that with what happened with Carla, because I feel like that, might have had a snowball effect to me not winning the game, but I didn't know what else to do in that situation, especially because I was slightly offended the way that she was coming after me. And, we worked the whole game together. Now it's like, it was as if I was the only person who was going to vote her out. Like if it was, it was as if I deserved all the blame, right? And so it was just like, I still wonder if there's anything I could have done differently in that moment to change the events. But like, I did everything that I thought I needed to do. I wanted to go to the end with Gabler and Owen for a long time. And so, and you know, I was able to get to the end with them. And I, you know, I made every move correctly that I thought I needed to make. So, it's cool that like the plans that I wanted to happen and like the things that I had put into motion, like, you know, a little bit post merge, like actually came to fruition. And that I was able to like win through immunities, and I was really proud of the game that I had played. And I knew that like, I hadn't played the best game of the season by any means. And I don't take credit for that at all, but I felt like I had, set myself up for the best chance that I could have had for, you know, based off the game that I played and the people I was sitting next to. So, yeah, I mean, I really don't have any big regrets, I think, in the game, I think, or anything specifically to speak to at this moment. I'm just, okay.
Well, we still have some time left, but okay. I want to just ask you about like your reaction to, you know, how you, I mean, it must be so surreal to have so many people, you know, come to your defense in terms of, people being very upset that you didn't win. I mean, what's that been like for you to be at the center of where, you know, it's people are, were very upset that you didn't win?
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's mixed emotions, right? Because it's hard. You know, I felt like I had played a winning game, and that doesn't take away from the fact that Gabler played a winning game or Owen, you know, it, in any world with any type of jury, like the outcome might've been different. But I think I had like gaslit myself based off of what the jury had said to me at the end and how they had like kind of treated me in Final Tribal. I felt like I was led to believe, and I convinced myself that like maybe I didn't play a good game, maybe I didn't deserve to win. And so at, you know, whenever the final, you know, we got to watch it on TV, and I had so many people like supporting me and like hundreds of messages, Rob, just over and over again. It was hard to see that because it was validating in a way, because I did feel like I had played a game that could have won. And so it was nice that people saw that, even though a lot of my game wasn't shown, like my strategic and my social game wasn't really shown. And it makes sense, I guess, because I didn't win. Like if I had won, I think that all of those moments that I am wondering why they didn't show would have been shown. It would have made sense to show all these moments only for me to lose, right? But so for people to see that they felt like I played a winning game, even without seeing those things that I felt like were important to my story, it was validating in a way, but it also kind of made it harder. It made it confusing. Like I just didn't know what to think. And, And, you know, I only have my own perspective to go off of, right? I can't, and fans see so little of everything that happened. So it's hard to just, I don't know. It's complicated, but like I've kind of come to a place of peace with everything that went down. I'm so grateful for the support that I've gotten. Like it's not $1 million, but it's still like, I feel like I could have had any type of Survivor experience. And I feel like I'm just really grateful that I got to have such a good experience with the game and that I got to like kind of see it through all the way to the end. And that I feel like I am proud of the game that I played and people, you know, supporting me and being inspired by me. And I've had so many like little girls reach out to me and say that they're inspired by the game I played and they want to play one day. And not just like little girls, but like, you know, guys and like, all ages and genders and things have reached out to me saying that I inspired them. And that was one of the things that I really wanted going in, that I was hoping for, that I knew was like maybe a long shot to play a game that would inspire other people. But to get that kind of feedback really meant so much to me. And it kind of helped dull the ache a little bit of getting to the end and losing. Cause it's just a really tough spot to be in no matter what. Especially I think feeling like I could have won, right? If I had gone to the end with like Jesse, I would have known like I'm, you know, there probably wouldn't have been much hope going in. So I would have expected the outcome, but I think there was a shot that I could have won. And so it was hard, you know, and I felt like I was getting mixed answers from the jury about what had happened. So just confusing, I guess, more than anything.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, you know, and I don't want to take anything away from Gabler. Like he played an amazing social game. And I know that like how you make people feel and all that matters a lot to people, even if it's, especially because people are in such an emotional state when they're on the jury and like they've just gotten voted out of the game. Like, I don't know what that actually feels like, but I know what it feels like to not win. Right. So I still get that feeling of like, oh, like, you know, I'm thinking of all the things I could have done differently. Yeah. And Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a lot, but I'm grateful to get the love and the support that I did and that I got to play a game that I'm proud of and, that I can look back on and I was happy to like not go out first, to get to the merge, like things like that, but to win 3 immunities, to get to the end, to almost win, like that's almost better than anything I could have asked for besides like winning. Right.
Yeah.
So
real quick, you would go back again, correct? You would return to Fiji?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I have to have my redemption, so.
The we'll story see. Is right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, Cassidy, what's next for you after Survivor?
So I am finishing up school. I am starting a small business, which I'm really excited about. I have a lot of things in the works right now. So I don't have an official, like, Instagram page for it yet. Cause I like rebranded it. I have a new brand name, but, I'm working on that. I'm working on setting up a website. So people can, if you follow me on Instagram, which is at Khaleesi, Khaleesi, on Instagram, I'll be posting and updating stuff about it on there for now. And then, also on Twitter, which is the same name, but with a 3 at the end. That's kind of what I'm focusing on right now. Trying to just get back to normal life, go back to the gym, get in shape again. Because I've been kind
relatable.
Of, yeah, yeah. Been putting that on the back burner, but.
Yeah, well, Cassidy, we didn't have a ton of time here today, but you made the most of it. Thank you so much for coming and talking with us about your experience. Hope that we can do it again soon. All the best. Thanks everybody so much for listening. Take care. Have a good one.
Thank you so much. Bye.